Good morning and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment was, take plenty of time to do this. Move your attention from the top of your head down through your entire body, all the way to your toes, and experience your body as fully as possible. Record and listen. All right. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself? First caller?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini, this is Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hi. I think the muting thing came on a little later, that I was unmuted. This exercise, I just love it because it just puts me right in my body immediately as soon as I start the process.
Uh-huh.
And it kind of fit in with the one yesterday related to drawing your body, or I think it was yesterday. And so it was like I could remember that picture and then feeling the body after that and just kind of really rejoicing in it, you know, like, wow, this is a body that's been working so well, and I've been lucky enough that my body's worked very well my whole life pretty much. So it was just sort of a real gratitude, kind of a feeling of gratitude and aliveness at the same time.
Uh-huh. A celebration lap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, body.
Yes. And then just, I think I do this when I feel really stressed out or identified, I do this, you know, sort of thing. Like either whether I'm feeling the seat that's holding me, or sometimes I'll do the white light going through the body or something like that. And it just really takes me out of my head into the moment, you know, where it's not, everything's not so serious, or that issue isn't, like when you turn your attention away from it, it goes away. And so that's kind of how it felt, just really relaxing. And I use it quite frequently.
So now you've got this in your tool belt, right? When that stress, you feel the stress in the body. We were talking about it the other day, that with the, tense your mind, tense your emotions, tense your body, and that when the mind gets tense, which usually means blah, 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 about something that's wrong and pressure and that sort of thing, and then the emotional reaction is tense, you know, the body is tense, and the tense body signals, the mind really does need to be tense. And so to just stop and do this exercise, everything's fine.
Yeah.
It all calms at once.
Yes, and it brings up, as you're talking, there'll be times when I'm really, like, worried, maybe, you know, like about politics or something going on, or wanting to really help people, or, you know, something that's got a feeling of panic or rush or something. And I'll think of being on retreat or at the monastery, which is kind of the same feeling. And and I'll just remember there's nothing wrong.
And again, that shift of attention from what conditioning is doing to rev you up, shift attention away from that. You're back in your body. You're here. It's clear there's nothing wrong. There's no problem. And
just
love it.
Really, really right here in this moment, and there is nothing wrong, which is for conditioned mind hard to accept.
Right.
That is the reality.
Exactly. And I love it when we can add another very simple, in the moment, straightforward activity that we can do to bring ourselves back here.
Yeah.
Because that's a good thing to put on a recording, isn't it?
That'd be great.
To kind of talk ourselves through it, and then have that on. Okay, time to bring that one out and listen to it.
For sure.
All right.
For sure.
All right.
Thank you,
Renee.
Just one more thing.
One more thing
I just wanted to say is, most of the time when I call in, I have some big insight I want to say, and today it happened just without any pre-planning or rehearsing. So glad to just talk to you too. Yeah.
Yeah, and isn't that good? Because then what the heart wants to speak about
is
what you get to speak about and be present to that. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, nice.
That's a good one to put on recording too.
Yeah. Now I'll just put this whole radio show on recording. Yeah.
Good idea.
Great.
All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Renee. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye.
Thanks, Renee. Hey, that recording and listening is so the savior, right, Sherry?
Because it really is.
Because I think that it's in both places, whether it's physical or emotional, it's just suggested that there's something wrong. And oftentimes, if we're scanning, because we're so trained to scan for that, it's like there's a vague sense of something, dread, we might call dread, or there's something wrong. But once we start to talk about it to the recorder, there's such a sense of bringing us back to what is so. I mean, either, there's something vaguely wrong, and we actually get to what the message is that we can then address, or we actually talk ourselves into here, where we're actually here aware of what is so and concretizing it so that the message of something vaguely wrong that's hinted at but never said is not something that we're listening to or believing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It just makes all the difference. Again, this is what I always say at this juncture. This explains why there's so much resistance. Ego only ever violently resists what threatens it, not what threatens us.
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
It's Megan in Maryland.
Hello, Megan.
Hello. So I wasn't going to call in today, but nobody's in the office, and so...
they left you alone in there.
That's right. I'm so excited that I dialed, and I'm so excited I got on. I'm loving the retreat. There's a good bit of resistance. And I noticed it the other day. It was like it just felt like a little smudge on my glasses. Like it's not the resistance that's like, no, you can't do it, like beat me down. It's just the like, nah, you don't want to, you know, oh, later kind of resistance.
That's such, Megan, that is such a great image. Like a little smudge on the glasses. It's not paralyzing, right? You can function just fine, almost perfectly fine.
Yeah, it's not worth like looking at too closely.
Right. You don't want to go through the whole thing of having to take the glasses off and get the cloth out and. It's not worth that. You do that later.
Yeah, because I do get that. I catch up. I do it sometimes, and sometimes I even turn on the recorder. You know, it's sort of this feeling like it's enough, even though it feels kind of heavy, you know?
Say more about that, Megan.
Well, for the first month or so, it was very joyful and exciting, and I was all in. And I even noticed during that time that, it was a little bit of a setup. It was like, see, you're doing well. You know, this is good because you're checking the boxes. And that's usually a setup for as soon as not all those boxes get checked, then... there's a big problem.
Yeah, the giant eraser is coming your way, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it. So, Well, two things. One is the very first day when I read the introduction, I highlighted some of those lines in the intro about, you know, you can't do it wrong and make space for whatever shows up, even the unpleasant things. And so for a while, I would read those lines every time I started, and that would sort of shake off this heaviness that I'm referring to. But then over time, it was like, oh, well,
I know what that says. Yeah, let's just drag ourselves over to the page here. Gosh, and isn't it good to see all of that?
Yes.
I mean, that's kind of, we could say, the whole deal, right? I mean, not really, because, of course, you know, we still have to choose to read the lines, to show up, not to give attention to the heaviness. But seeing how that process works, it just gives us a level of freedom that wasn't available before.
Yeah. Yep. And so many other things are just, like, opening up. I don't know how to put it. Like, because I'm calling in and listening, and I am doing, honestly, I'm doing most of the assignments. I don't even know why I'm saying. I mean,
why conditioning wanted you to deny that.
Exactly. And just, I don't know, the mentor is the best.
The very best.
Guiding me through all these practices every day and just seeing a ton and being grateful.
Mm-hmm. And so it might be good to make one of those recordings that would go along with the reading the lines that say, that describe exactly what you've told us. You know, I can feel the heaviness of egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, really doesn't want me to do this. And through recording and listening, talking with the mentor, I can get back to a place of lightness, of presence, of real happiness that I'm here and doing this, and add that to your repertoire. So,
So
it begins to reinforce what you have already seen.
Yeah, even just hearing you say that, like the heaviness, the fog lifts. And I can just already tell that the same way that reading the intro at first was so powerful, like that feels like sort of just the next step on that.
Yes, which brings us to another process point, because what we want to do in practice is always have one of those. When that stops working, when that recording, you know, the voices are saying, oh, God, you heard that, you know, you could recite that in your sleep. Then, okay, well, what do I need then, now, that's fresh and present to help me remember? And you just make a new recording about what you've seen and how it works and what you've realized and why you want to do this and the success that you're having, like that, and just keep, always have one of those that you are eager to listen to because you're aware it brings you back to where you want to be. Okay, very good. I'm glad everybody ditched you this morning.
Me too.
All right, thanks, Megan.
Go happy.
Thanks, Megan. You know, Sherry, two things drop in about that. When something like that reading inspires us to presence, that's sort of like life saying, here I am. Or there's such a reflection of getting here. Mm-hmm. And then when it stops working, it's also an interesting place in practice to recognize that here is what brings me here, not the reading. Right? That it's an opportunity to get that the reason I'm feeling open and inspired is because I'm feeling open and inspired. It might have been something that assisted me to get here, but it's not conditional on that.
Yes.
Because there is a point at which that doesn't do that for me anymore. And that's the clue to look for what's present in my life now that brings me here, which is what you're pointing to. But we have to stop feeling like it's the crutch or whatever it was that offered itself in that moment, that's the thing
that is the source of my high energy. I don't know if that made sense, but it just occurred to me that it was so important to get clear that presence leads to presence. And oftentimes we're assisted to being present, but to recognize that it's presence leading to presence, and heaviness is because we're listening to a conversation.
I had an image as you were talking about that, that a person is in a terrible accident. Something, you know, their legs get injured and they can't walk, and maybe they're in casts, you know. And at first, it's just standing up is really big, and then you move to a walker, and then you move to crutches, and then you move to a cane, and then you move to going from wall to wall or furniture to furniture as we get more accustomed to what it feels like to be here on our own feet and balanced in life. It's okay to have all those supports, but your point, which is a big one, is to realize that the only reason any of them work is because of the animating force of life that we are turning to.
Yeah, and getting to sometimes access directly when the support, within quotes, has been taken over.
Yes, yes, yeah. Well, if we stay with that little image, the voice that says, oh, this is too hard, you can't do this, you know, maybe a wheelchair. What's wrong with a wheelchair, really? Or why don't you go back to bed and rest, you know, rest for a few weeks, and probably it'll be easier. Because it won't be.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Wow. I haven't been on in like 6 months. This is Brad.
What the heck happened to you?
Who? You know who this is?
This is
Brad in Maryland.
I know that. I know
that. Oh, okay.
I recognize your voice. I'm not going to forget you in 6 months. What have you been doing?
Well, you know, I was discussing with my Zen coach that I had a terrible slump in practice that started in December and lasted through the beginning of, like, March. And I have pulled myself out of it, and I've gotten my practice consistent, and I've actually come to the annual retreat a little late. But the funny thing is, I'm doing, like, 7 out of 7 with all my commitments right now, but where the resistance is dealing with this retreat.
And he doesn't want you to get on it and talk about it, or?
No, it just doesn't want me to, you know, participate. I've got enough on my plate already with 2 small kids and everything else that's going on. And
for heaven's sake. Now, let me ask you this, Brad.
Yeah.
How many consecutive days of meditation had you accomplished when the devil snatched you?
Last time, I don't know, my record's like 180 to 200, but right now I'm up to 40.
That's right. And so my point is, being so, if we want to, you know, this is in quotes, but so successful with practice is just a challenge ego can't pass up.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah. How can it take a person from really being committed to practice and successful with practice and feeling good and take that person down to a place of, you know, I can wreck your life anytime I want to.
Yeah. But, you know, the amazing thing was, as I was telling my Zen coach, is the fact that although, you know, the grooves of conditioning have been worn a long time, there's also the familiarity of the consistency and the practice. There is the memory of the experience and being able to come back to that. It's just kind of like, you know, switching yourself over into another track.
So it's like you don't work out for 6 months and then you start working out again and your body remembers that.
Yes, and you can do it gradually.
Yes.
You don't need to, all you need to do is keep doing it.
That's exactly right.
It's not a matter of necessarily how much. It's a matter of the process itself of continuously showing up. And it's taken me a long time to get that when you've said that previously. But it makes a heck of a lot of sense.
Well, now this is, I don't know if it'd be how popular it would be with your family. Your little kids would love it, of course, but I would encourage you to find a white wall somewhere in the house where you spend a lot of time and write that in really big letters. Just don't quit.
Yeah.
Because that's what conditioning ego is constantly trying to get people to do. Quit. Just quit something. Quitting practice, of course, is the best. But quit anything. Quit going to the gym. Quit eating healthy. Quit, you know, just quit. Because once we have agreed to quit, ego knows that we will.
And it permeates everything else, too.
Absolutely.
Over time.
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like what Ashwini was just saying about how, like, you know, being here is being here, you know, and being engaged in that process of not meeting what you've set out for yourself leads to more of that. It kind of compounds itself. One process
yes,
is not
does.
Leading to the other. One's just kind of stacking up on itself and just, you know, so.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll just tell you this. It's great to hear your voice.
Well, I just tell you this. I look forward to seeing you guys in September, and it's nice to be back in the fold. All right.
You know, September seems so far away, September in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, but we know by how quickly May is going by that it's just right around the corner. So,
it rained here for like 2 weeks straight. It was crazy here on the East Coast. So,
oh, we'll try to get that out of your system.
Everyone had to go out and mow their lawn, and it was like 3 feet high. It was quite a process. So.
Uh-huh. Well, try to arrange something nice for September, okay?
Oh, of course. You got it.
Yeah. Okay, good. All right. Thanks,
Great
Brad.
Great talking to you. Uh-huh. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks, Brad.
Ashwini. It bumped me off. Hang on 1 second, Sherry. Okay, here we go. I'm going to just bring the next caller live.
Okay.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
This is Steve from Long Island.
Hey, Steve.
Hi. Oh, I really enjoyed doing the moving my awareness from the top of my head to. And I was pretty surprised that I think a lot because of this retreat that I had a new perspective about my body, which is that it's kind of here all the time and just waiting for to be suggest something to do, to choose something to do.
That is such a great point. If we want to know what present is, if we want to be present, the body is always in the present, right? We're not. We leave it. Go off and do other things, but the body is always in the present.
That surprised me. I thought it was kind of controlled by something else, but no.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Who knew something so simple, straightforward, and kind of what we've been looking for a really long time is right here, hidden in plain sight. We just never thought to think about it that way.
Yeah, and I guess sometime in the last few days that it also occurred to me that my mind, well, it's open to suggestions. It can't always do everything. But yeah, in a sense, my mind is also open to suggestions, kind of like my body.
Yes. Yes. If I'm understanding you, what we see is that the mind kind of runs on its own program, right? After we pay attention for a little while, we realize, I'm not thinking those things. I didn't think that. I saw it appear in my mind. And when we meditate, we realize that's a pretty constant stream of stuff that is just appearing there. It's just kind of passing through, which is why people talk about it, compare it to clouds in the sky, right? So this stuff is just going through. And then you bring awareness to it, and you realize the very big difference between that process of conditioned mind and the awareness that is aware of it.
Yes.
Is that where you're going with that?
Yeah, in the sense that it is always there.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, as you say, the awareness is something else.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's that. It's a third well, I was going to say it's a third process, but actually, I guess it's kind of really the second process, which is either it's conditioned or it's life.
Right. Well, and I project the next piece of what you're looking at. So there's awareness. There's awareness of what's going on in conditioned mind, and there's attention, right? So you realize in awareness that you could be attending to what's going on in conditioned mind, or you could attend to the body. You could turn attention to the breath. You could, Renee was mentioning, you know, feeling the chair that you're sitting on or your feet on the floor. So attention can come back into the body in the present, and it's a very different experience than being lost in conditioned mind, because attention is just on that. So attention is on conditioned mind. I'm completely caught up in some story, and there's no awareness of anything else around me because attention is just gripped by conditioned mind. So seeing those movements that we're making constantly, we realize that we have a degree of choice about where we direct the attention.
While you were speaking, something opened up, and I realized that there's actually a lot more going on than I was paying attention to a minute ago.
Aha.
In a good
That's
way.
Kind of exciting. It's kind of exciting, isn't it?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it makes people want to meditate. That's how we go from, oh, God, I have to meditate because I said I would because it's the right person thing to do, to, wow, I cannot wait to sit down and watch this stuff happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you. I know.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Steve. It's really true, right, Sherry, when we start to develop that sense of being able to watch how life works on all of these levels and how we process that and how mm-hmm. we're limited in our processing, and when the limits start to fall away, it's a fascination with existence that has no parallel.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it's thrilling, isn't it?
Yeah, I think that the place I got to with it, and I'm talking because I can't bring anyone else on in the less than 1 minute we have, is that a 13 and a half hour flight stops being a torture.
Uh-huh.
That there's a way in which watching what happens is, you know, you can meditate anywhere.
Yeah, yeah. And there's nothing on that little screen in front of you to compare with what's unfolding in
yeah.
conscious awareness.
Yes, and that the arc of one's attention is something we can, it's the wrong word, but there's a way in which your attention, to have attention on awareness expand over time, because the frontier of that arc is something you can keep moving, rather than having to get distracted. I mean, you see that when we're meditating, that sometimes you can only pay attention to one breath. And then over a period of time, 30 minutes becomes a possibility to have attention on awareness. And then you can expand that. There's an arc of fatigue of attention that you can actually, like a muscle, keep extending. Yeah, it's fascinating.
The master game, the most exciting
Absolutely.
Game in town. Yep.
Yes. Well, we bring our attention back to the body with the question for today, which is, what kind of body is it?
Ooh, what kind of body is it? What an amazing question. All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy. Enjoy.
Go happy.
See you tomorrow.